MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to First Strike right here on VSiN. I'm your host, Dave Ross. For the next hour, we're going to break down everything from a gambling perspective on what should be another sneaky deep card at UFC Fight Night as we get the former champion, Jan Błachowicz, going to go back into the octagon, potential five-round matchup with Alexander Rokic. Going to help break it all down here for the next hour. Jordan Sherwood's going to join us from Chicago. Kevin Ioli is going to join us from Yahoo Sports. And right now, what a pleasure each and every week to be joined by Gamblue. He is Lou Fittacaro. You got to follow him on Twitter as I do, at Gamblue. And again, we're going to talk about the About Business podcast in just a little bit. But Lou, I feel like a broken record here when we do First Strike each and every week, because I know us as fight fans, we love the fights anyway. And then you come off of UFC 274, and obviously when you got two title fights and, you know, maybe they didn't go exactly the way we all thought, you think maybe we're going to have a slowdown week. This is not a slowdown week in the UFC, that's for sure. When you look at the depth of this card, let's go right to the potential five-round main event here in Błachowicz against Rokic. And Rokic right now is a solid favorite. About a minus $1.90 is what I'm seeing. Błachowicz, the former champion, about a plus $1.60. Lou, is that respect due for Rokic? Or are we kind of already saying, all right, Błachowicz might be one step on the other side of the spectrum, if you will, when it comes to the age gap here in the UFC?
Well, first of all, Dave, thanks for having me on, sharing a little shine with Kevin as well as Jordan. That'll be really awesome. Those are excellent guests as well. To answer your question, I think there's a great amount of unknown surrounding Błachowicz based on Teixeira fight, his last fight. Before the Teixeira fight, there was a lot of shine on Błachowicz. He was almost seen as, you know, the new champ. He was the champ, but he laid a real egg against Glover, and I think that's caused the betting markets a little concern as well. He's in there with a guy that's going to be a little taller, a little longer, and 9 years younger.
That's the thing, is the 9 years younger, right? When you're looking at a guy in Błachowicz who's 39, Rokic, who is ascending here at 30, and he does have a slight height advantage of about an inch here, and the reach is dead even at 78 inches here. What style of fight do you expect to play out in the main event? Because I think the conventional wisdom would be Błachowicz, like he did against Israel Adesanya, when he kind of had a, you know, easy work against Izzy, who was coming up in weight. He got him down to the ground and used his wrestling there to effectiveness to get that win. Rokic, you would want to believe, would want to stand and trade and use those hands. Is that the two clear modes to victory here for these two fighters?
Dave, as I envision the fight, I believe that's pretty much how I see it. Yes, I see Rokic as the man requiring the distance and wanting to be able to use space to crack on Błachowicz. And I think that Jan is the fighter that understands he's got to take some of the starch out of the young man. And what better way to do that than from top position? Jan's risk in getting to top position is that he has to get inside the pocket, get onto his opponent, Rokic, against the fence, then onto the floor. That's where his risk lies. And so the cat and mouse here is all about distance.
It really is. And again, earlier in First Strike, First Look, had Reed Kuhn on as well. And he was talking about the number, the volume of shots that Blachowicz has taken now at 39 years young. And sometimes you start to worry about, you like to say, getting chinny. Is there a concern there for Blachowicz? The over-under right now is set at 3.5, and it is juiced to the over at $1.35. Do you think that the chin is good enough, if it stays standing, that he can drag this maybe a little bit in deeper waters, and maybe that could be advantage Blachowicz if the fight goes deeper into the night?
I think Blachowicz has to get it deep, but not by standing, by rolling, or by pressing or groping against the fence. Again, that risk is too high to get Rakic crisp and fresh from distance. That's when his punches are most effective, obviously. That's when Jan does not want to eat him. And so the cat and mouse early is all about spacing for Jan Blachowicz, because it's going to dictate whether this fight's going to go into the championship rounds or not. I tend to think it's going to.
You know, Lou, I think you do an excellent job on many different levels here in First Strike and across the network on VSiN. But one of them, I think you really shine, is when you watch these guys in weigh-ins and you can kind of glean maybe if it was a bad weight cut, that sort of thing. We're not hearing anything like that. 205 for these guys here. Any concerns after these guys made weight?
Well, Rakic was 1 on the scale. Jan was 2. And so that's impressive. They sent their message to each other. But the difference in body type was substantial. I've never seen Jan look so 39-ish as on the scale today. And that's maybe not necessarily a great compliment.
Yeah, there. You know, Father Time is undefeated. So, again, 9 years, the senior here for Jan Blachowicz, the former champion, against Alexander Rakic. This number has gone up a little bit as the week's gone up. Right now, about a minus $1.90 for Rakic. Let's get to the co-main event of the evening. We're staying in the light heavyweight division here at 205 pounds. And Ian Kutsalaba, you and I talked about it on Lombardi Line earlier this week, Lou, here on the network. He's a wild man. And, you know, just watching him make weight and doing what he does, he can be intimidating here. I don't know if that's going to have an effect on Superman Span, Ryan Span here. Span right now, the comeback, plus $1.85. Kutsalaba minus $2.25. What did you glean from these two light heavies? And is this is it priced accordingly in your estimation?
When I went into the handicap, I thought that Kutsalaba was too steep and that I really thought I could find some value in Span. And there is value in Span if you look at him just analytically. He's taller, he's longer, he's not quite younger, but he has a great setup provided this thing stays at distance and on the feet. The issue with Ryan Span, and please take me with a grain of salt here, I've never been in a cage with the door shut, so I'm not near the men these guys are. But I don't know that Span really wants it when it's dirty, grimy, and somebody's really pressing him back. And that's the kind of guy he's got with Kutsalaba. When he showed up today at the stare downs with sunglasses on, to me, that's a bad sign for Span.
Yeah, I've never been inside that octagon either. Have no desire to do it. I like what we do observing, but I think that's a fair evaluation because, again, you know Kutsalaba is going to be pressure in your face, and let's see if Superman Span likes that, because you're right, the body language, maybe not so much. Again, the total rounds here, 3-round fight here, potentially. The over right now, if you think it might go a little bit deeper, 1.5 plus 115, so you can get plus money if you think this can go at least, what about 7.5 minutes here, Lou? Do you think Span can survive that? Because I think that's the common theory, right? That if Kutsalaba gets him, he might get him out of there earlier than later.
I mean, just flashback to Johnny Walker and Ryan Span. I mean, listen, Span could easily get Kutsalaba out of there, no question. However, I think it's in Span's best interest to measure himself a little and keep Kutsalaba at the end of those shots and try and get him. And IQ's never been another one of his strong suits. And after he gets pressed or kicked or hit, is he going to just turn the switch on and stand toe to toe, and I think that's the peril of this fight with these two guys.
Yeah, you know, I learned my lesson again last week with Justin Gaethje in the main event, where you thought sometimes you can be smarter, and when you get hurt and figure out ways to, sometimes fighters go right back to what they know, and that could be danger for Ryan Span if he does that against Ian Kutsalaba. In the bantamweight division, this should be a very intriguing matchup as well, with Davy Grant, a $3 favorite against Luis Smolka here, plus 235 here in the comeback in the bantamweight division. This feels a little bit heavy to me if you want to back Grant here. Is there danger here in the $3 favorite?
I don't think so. Smolka is barely UFC level, even though this is his second stint. He's a tough Hawaiian. He wants to roll and submit and grapple, but he's real chinny. He's awkward on the feet. And even though he's considered 6 years, I think, younger than Grant at 36, Grant's 36, mm-hmm. I just think Grant's too fast, too powerful, and too explosive on the feet. The way for Lewis Smolka to win this fight is if Grant's totally overconfident and runs right into an early submission.
You know what's interesting here, Lou, to me that really stood out is when I look at the total here at 2.5 in a potential 3-round matchup here, and you can get plus money if you can get over 2.5 rounds at plus $1.65. The under, minus 210. And normally in the bantamweight division, you don't see it decidedly in that favor of a stoppage here at over $2. Do you think this, again, Davy Grant, if form holds and the numbers equate, it would seem to match that he would get this done sooner than later?
I think that's a logical approach and one I adhere to.
Okay, so that's where it looks like you can see where the money's coming in there for Davy Grant at minus $3. Lou, we've got a lot more to get to. We're going to take a break in about 90 seconds, but before we go to break, I do want to talk about the About Business podcast for people out there, Lou. So when they tune in and listen in each and every week, what do you give them on the About Business pod?
Well, thanks for mentioning it, Dave. Yeah, the About Business podcast takes place every week. There's a UFC event. And on the Friday afternoon, so later this afternoon, it'll drop on all podcast platforms. And it's a 15 to 17 minute synopsis of the final releases that I have for each card. Those are tabulated. We keep track of our ROI and our profitability, and we accrue it week to week. And we have great listenership, and we encourage everyone to tune in.
I absolutely encourage it as well. Again, follow Lou on Twitter at Gamblu. Lou, don't go anywhere, because when we come back, there's a lot of women on this card that might be taking center stage in three bouts that I want to get to after we come back from a very short break. Remember, Jordan Sherwood, Kevin Iole, going to join me right here on First Strike. It's a really good card. Of course, headlined by Jan Blachowicz against Alexander Rakic. Come on back. It's First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on First Strike on VSiN. Do not forget, the DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you plenty of ways to bet on the UFC. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You're going to be able to bet on more ways than just the main event. DraftKings has great odds on fight lines, total rounds, and features of MMA events. Eligibility restrictions to apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. I am Dave Ross. This is First Strike. Rejoined once again by Lou Finicaro. Follow him on Twitter as I do, at Gamblu, and you should. If you want to make some money, listen to that Bout Business podcast. Gives out great advice each and every week. Let's get back to this card, Lou. And I mentioned before we went to break, a lot of ladies on this card. Three fights here of intrigue and certainly of note when you look at some of the name commodities here. Caitlin Chookagian here in the flyweight division going to take on Amanda Ribas at 125 pounds. So Ribas coming up in weight here. Chookagian, you can understand, she's a solid favorite here. About minus $1.80 plus $1.55 on the Brazilian here, Ribas, on the comeback. But normally when you think Chookagian, you think decision, right? And that's why it's juiced well over $2 for this fight to go over 2.5 rounds. What's the best way to attack this fight, Lou, when you look at Chookagian against Amanda Ribas?
Well, the first way for me to attack it is to wonder why Ribas has taken a fight at 25 when she fights at 115. Mm-hmm. And she's taking it against a gal in Chookagian that is fought against Shevchenko and all the elite ladies at 25. And only the elite ladies have been able to beat her. She's 6 inches taller, and even though she doesn't have a physical reach advantage, the leverage she's going to inflict on Ribas, who's an undersized gal at 15, let alone 125, to me is the intrigue of the fight. Ribas has to get a hold of Chookagian, close distance, and drag her down. And Chookagian, again, the larger lady, has 55% takedown defense against a higher caliber of fighter at the 125 division. This is just a bad matchup for Ribas.
I totally agree. It's exactly the way I handicap it as well. I keep trying to think about ways that Ribas can possibly get this fight and take control of it against the bigger woman in that octagon. The over I mentioned is juiced heavily, minus 265 to go over 2.5 rounds. I know Chookagian does not want to have the rep, but I think it's already there as a decision fighter. Is there any way she can get a stoppage inside of that distance? Because the plus money here on the comeback, if you want to take the under, is plus $2 if you think this fight can be stopped before 2.5 rounds.
I'm such a believer that it's possible Chookagian can end this fight that I took her in a parlay as opposed to gimmicking her either via decision, which I think most people will. But I'm very afraid that, number one, she's aware of the moniker of being a decision fighter. And number two, she's got an ideal matchup in a gal that's been finished before stepping up in weight class.
Yeah, you're right. And certainly those narratives get out there. And, you know, we saw that even with future former champions in the UFC, like Tyron Woodley, when he was the champ at 170, it didn't sit well with the boss, Dana White, even as champion, because they thought, unexciting fighter. I know Caitlin Chookagian does not want to have that label, so maybe she'll go for that stoppage against Amanda Ribas if she has the opportunity before 2.5 rounds. I mentioned some other ladies on this fight card in the flyweight division. We'll stay right there at 125. And Viviane Araújo against Andrea Lee. This is a very intriguing matchup to me. and pretty closely priced, as you can imagine. Araujo here, plus a dollar. Andrea Lee, the small favorite at minus $1.20 in this potential three-round matchup. How do you see this one shaking out?
This could be almost like the Maximov-Petrovsky fight, which is the first one of the evening, as it will vie for the best fight of the evening. Mm-hmm. These are two violent girls that aren't afraid to get after it. And I got to be honest with you, I have no clue. Andrea Lee opened a very slight minus 130. Now it's closer to pick 'em. I like Andrea Lee a lot. I think she picked up a lot of momentum off the win in her last against Calvillo, but Araujo is no laughing matter.
No, she is not. And what really stands out to me is when you look at the total. I mean, Lou, they think for sure this thing is going to the cards. Over 2.5 rounds, minus 330. I mean, that is as big a juice as you're going to see. The under 2.5, plus 240 here. Any shot, or is it just stabbing in the dark if people want to play the under 2.5?
Each lady has the power to put the other out. However, each lady's also so tough and durable that I don't see it happening.
Yeah, that's exactly why it's priced that way here. So feels like the over, but you got to lay a lot of juice there if you want to take it at minus 330 for that fight to go over 2.5 rounds. Let's go to the strawweight division back here to 115. Verna Yandarova is a big favorite against Angela Hill. And there's always danger if you want to play against Angela Hill. She's plus 160 here on the comeback against Verna. What do you make of this matchup here? And could Angela Hill, we know she is game, Lou. I mean, there's not a fight that she doesn't like, but the odds right now are against her. How do you see this one playing out?
I see this as probably the best underdog opportunity that I have on this fight card. Yandarova opened 140. She's now got raised up to minus 190. That's a really profitable segment for the underdog when the favorite is priced between plus 100 and minus 200, and they rise. And so I love the increase in price in Angela Hill. I like the fact that she's taller. I like the fact that she's a striker. I like the fact that she has been in with better and has very stout takedown defense. And Yandarova must get close and must take this down in order to hold advantage. And Angela Hill has seen all kinds of Yandarovas before. I think she's got the movement, the footwork, and the striking to keep this at range and win a decision.
Yeah, overkill Hill, that's what she knows. She's been in there with the very best. So what's very interesting, again, when you look at the three women's fights on the card, the over 2.5 in each fight, and in this case here with Hill and Yandarova, it's minus 255. I mentioned Araujo and Lee, that's minus 330. And of course, when you look at Chikagian and Rebos, minus 265. So Lou, you understand that the blueprint feels like with some of these women's three-round fights, non-title bouts, that they always lean towards the over in those decision possibilities here. These set at 2.5. Again, is that just where the smart money is because you just don't see typically a lot of finishes in these weight classes?
Yeah, that's exactly right, and I'll take it a step further. Just take it to 135-pound fighters and lower.
There it is.
Include the bantamweight men. Those are all dynamically decision fights, especially when you get into a production fight, like a numbered fight where they're using the huge cage.
It's a great point. You mentioned earlier that you thought maybe Andrew Lee and Viviana Araujo could be fight of the night, but you also mentioned Nick Maximov against Andrew Petrosky here. That's the first fight on the board. Maximov is a huge favorite. We get it. He's a rising star. It feels like here in the middleweight division, minus 350. What do you make of that number? Is that too high for your liking?
Yeah, maybe in this matchup. This is going to be a heck of a fight because you got a really tough wrestling-based guy out of Philly that trains with Sean Brady and Felder and that group fighting a Nate Diaz disciple in Maximov. The thing with Petrosky, he's just chiseled out of granite, and he's definitely going to have a slight advantage on the feet. The issue will be is once he gets, he's so muscular, he'll swell up and slow down. And that's in the second and third round when Maximov will be able to turn on the throttle. And so I think if Maximov can weather a really dynamic first round out of Petrovsky, he has the ability to take top position and really kind of grapple Petrovsky and work him on the ground once he's tired. To me, I think that this fight is a decision fight because I have nothing but respect for the toughness and capability of both fighters. Fight to go to decision minus 130, minus 140, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty strong play.
Yeah, and if you want to go even safer, 2.5, get the over minus 160. I'm picking up what you're putting down there, Lou. Look, you know me, I always like a good scrap. I like when there's a little bit of you know what talking here. I missed the Black Zillions against ATT back in the day. Michael Johnson, you might be the last remaining Black Zillion out there, and he's still fighting now against Alan Patrick here. Patrick, right now, the underdog at +$1.25. What do you make of the veteran here in Johnson at minus 145? Do you think that's priced accordingly?
This is a tough fight because Johnson is dynamically inconsistent. And Alan Patrick on my list of fade fighters is position 1A. And so I lean to Johnson here because I do think he has better striking and more tools. And Patrick is just a fighter, I think, on the bubble of UFC worthy. And he's older than Michael Johnson. Yeah. So I think this is a tough spot for Patrick.
It feels like just yesterday when Justin Gaethje was making his UFC debut against Michael Johnson. People forget that fight. It was an incredible fight that Johnson came up on the short side. Hey, Lou, really appreciate the time and the information. As always, again, follow him at GamBlu, and you got to check out the Bout Business podcast. Lou, enjoy the fights this weekend, my friend. We'll catch up again next week.
Thanks for having me, Dave, and good luck to everybody.
There he is, everybody, Lou Finocchiaro. When we come back, much more to get to, including Jordan Sherwood out of Chicago. Come on back. It's First Strike right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We continue First Strike here on VSiN. I'm your host, Dave Ross. Once again, it is always a pleasure to be joined by Jordan Sherwood out of Chicago. Follow him at Wood on 1063, the host of the unnamed MMA podcast in Chicago. Jordan, you still working on a title, or are we sticking with the unnamed MMA pod?
Sticking with the unnamed MMA podcast. I think it's growing on me. It's growing on you because you keep asking me every time. So yeah, we're going to stick with it because it's working. At least for us, it's working.
If you switch it, I know a big-time sponsor came in and gave you millions of dollars to do so. Jordan, let's get to it right here because we got a really good card. Again, I feel like I say it every week, but a sneaky good card here. When you go to Blachowicz against Alexander Rakic here in the main event, Rakic right now about -$1.90. Jan +$1.60 on the comeback here. Look, he's not that far removed from a dominating win over Israel Adesanya. Obviously, Adesanya came up in weight to light heavyweight to lead the middleweight division here. But since then, the loss to Glover Teixeira, and now a solid underdog against Rakic. Is this mispriced, or do you think Rakic should be the rightful favorite?
I think he should be the rightful favorite. It's getting to a point, though, where there's too much money being put on Rakic. I think he's more in that $1.60 range that I'd be comfortable with betting on him. Just because I think the combination of his athleticism, the striking, I mean, we've seen what he could do. The Jimmy Manoa knockout is uber impressive. Mm-hmm. But also, he's got some wrestling to fall back on. And, you know, we've seen, you know, at times, Jan Blachowicz get taken down. Obviously, you know, when you get taken down against the champ, Glover Teixeira, it's a little bit of a different story. But I think as we get into the championship rounds, and I'm hinting at the fact right there, I think the over in this fight is a play to certainly look at. I think both guys going to be cautious, but I think Rodgers going to utilize his wrestling that we've seen him do in his last two wins Most notably controlling Anthony Smith, who's much more well-versed on the ground than Jan Błachowicz. So, to answer your question, I do believe Rochek should be the favorite, but I just don't think right now at that price it's worth the investment. You're going to have to stuff him into a parlay to get some value on that pick.
Yeah, so minus $1.90, so the better way to go, if I'm picking up what you're putting down, is to play the over 3.5 rounds right now at about a minus $1.40. If you like the under, plus $1.10. But it does feel like, you know, normally getting into bigger weight classes, middleweight divisions, light heavyweight divisions, you do technically, certainly in the heavyweight division, see more stoppages. But you do think this fight could go into those championship rounds here, even though it's a non-title bout. It is a five-round main event.
I do. I think, you know, both guys are in need of a win. Certainly Jan is going to need of a win to bounce back, to be in that topic of conversation, to challenge again for the championship. He was impressive on that 5-1 run. You know, that was good. And the knockout of Luke Rockhold certainly sticks out amongst his better wins. But Rogic's now, he gets a win over the former champion. In my mind, he's next in line for the winner of, you know, Prokhorovic and Glover later on next month. So, yeah, Rogic, certainly, I think both guys cautious. The over's the play. And sprinkle Rochek into a parlay of some earlier fights on the card, in my opinion.
Jordan, do you read into any of this stuff? And you know me, I do tend to read into some of this stuff because I love a good spat. It seems like Rockets is already talking to Prochazka, and like they're going back and forth at each other on social media. Like, dude, you're fighting Jan Błachowicz. Like, do you worry that maybe his mentals are elsewhere and he really needs to be focused on the former champ?
I think that's just who Rochek is. I think he's talked about being a champion. You know, he was looking past Anthony Smith prior to his victory over Anthony Smith. That's who he's been in the past. But you're right. I mean, you can't look past the Polish hammer because right. he is cashing as an underdog. I mean, he has been an underdog in several different areas, and he's cashed as, including, you mentioned, the Israel Adesanya fight. He was the underdog in that fight. He was the underdog against Luke Rockhold. So dude cashes tickets, and he barks as a dog. So definitely not wise if Rochek is looking past him, but I don't think he is. I think he's realistic. He's going to have to get a win to put himself as the next contender at light heavyweight.
Yeah, but you're right. This does feel like the showcase, right? That the winner of this, and I know Błachowicz would love it to be Teixeira against Jiří Procházka to get another shot at the belt here, but you're right. Whoever wins this fight pretty much would be in line to fight the winner of Procházka against the champion Glover Teixeira. Let's stay in the same division here. Talk about Ryan Superman Spann against Ian Kutalaba. Kutalaba, we know, is a wild man. And you can see it just the way he weighs in and the way he carries himself. Minus 225 against Spann. A little bit more understated. We know he's got power, but sometimes you worry if Spann is really in it mentally because you know Kutalaba is going to put pressure on him. Is this too much pressure, or do you think maybe there might be some value in the dog here plus $1.85?
You know, I think it's too much pressure. And I was joking about it, you know, on the Unnamed MMA podcast is like, you know, Ryan Spann doesn't like to get hit. And like, yeah, nobody likes to get hit in the face. But particularly a guy like Ryan Spann, when he's pressured and he takes a shot, he's out of the fight. Mm-hmm. And Ian Kutalaba is certainly the type of fighter that's going to bring that, even though he's been a little bit more reserved in his last two fights. He hasn't been that wild man. He's calmed it down a little bit. He's gotten the cardio under control. But I believe this is a fight that he runs through Ryan Spann. I think the under is the play because both guys do hit hard. But Kutalaba, his wrestling, the fact that Ryan Spann does get taken down and Kutalaba can revert back to his wrestling to get this fight off the feet to the floor, I think is a reason why. Certainly value in him to win the fight, and I like him even at the 325 price.
Yeah, you mentioned the under here, Jordan, and again, minus $1.45. So if you don't want to lay the big price tag here in Kutalaba over $2, maybe that's the way to go, the under at $1.45, because I'm with you. I don't think Spann can go all three, win it on a judge's decision or something like that. It's going to be kill or be killed, and sometimes you got to bite down the old mouthpiece, and that's not something that Ryan Spann is known to do. Let's see if he can turn that script and flip it a little bit on Saturday night. Davey Grant's a $3 favorite against Luis Smolka here, plus $2.35. Is this a situation where Grant runs through Smolka, or is there potential danger with the underdog?
I am on the Smolka bandwagon, and I'm one of the only ones believing that he has an opportunity. Because look, you know, Davey Grant's had some impressive knockouts, even though he's not a knockout fighter. And Luis Smolka, you know, in the UFC, out of the UFC, he's been finished before. But Davey Grant's a guy to get submitted, and Luis Smolka has a pressure game. and some very good grappling exchanges and submissions that he could pull out. I mean, I believe of Davy Grant's five losses, four of them have come via submission. And Luis Smoke is a guy that could, you know, grab a neck, snatch on a guillotine, an armbar, and finish you. And Davy Grant is a guy that's fallen in love with his hands and forgotten that he's, you know, he's a grappler himself. So small sprinkle, just a small sprinkle on Luis Smoke, and Luis Smoke via submission, 7-1. Ooh. So I look. Probably it's probably not a wise price. Davy Grant, you know, should be a sizable sure. favorite because Luis Smoke can't take a punch. But I think he survives. He survives patient and gets this fight to the ground and has an opportunity to submit Davy Grant.
Well, to your point, that's what Smoke does. If he's going to get the win, it's probably going to come via submission. He's going to look for those finishes there. So this is not a guy that's going to go in there and throw hands. That's for sure. Smoke is going to try to get it done. So maybe 7-1 if you like the dog. Like Jordan's saying, that's the best value for his pathway to victory. Caitlin Chikagan, she's got the rep as a decision fighter against Amanda Ribas here. And, you know, hey, she wins, but sometimes people might say, well, she's going to control you for three rounds. Do you see it playing out that way again here at 125 pounds?
I do. You know, she's not blonde fighter. She's point fighter. And, you know, she's the one that you go through to, like, earn an opportunity to fight for the belt. And I think, you know, we don't know much about Ribas yet at this, you know, flyweight weight class. You know, she's bounced up and down. We thought she was a strawweight contender. Marina Rodriguez, humbled her a couple of fights ago. So they, stylistically, they kind of match up the same, you know, and maybe, you know, Ribas has got a little bit more of an advantage on the ground if it gets there. But mm-hmm. Chikagian, it's so hard to get to the ground, and she's got very good top game as well. I mean, she smashed Shevchenko's sister a couple of fights back. So I like Chikagian. I think she's a smart play as the favorite. I think she outpoints, you know, Amanda on the feet. Three-round unanimous decision victory for the blonde fighter.
Yeah, I know it's a bad rap, but she wins fights. That's what Caitlin Chikagan does. Point fighter is a great way to put it. We've got about a minute to go here with Jordan Sherwood. I look deeper on this card, and I see the former Blackzillion Michael Johnson on this card here, a favorite against Alan Patrick. What do you make the old man? But, you know, Alan Patrick's even older.
It's so hard to back a guy that like went 1-4, then 2 wins, and now he's like he hasn't won a fight in like 5 in a row.
Right,
3 of them he was winning and then like lost. Like, but I gotta back the menace. Like he should win this fight. Like he's just gonna, you know, he's got more athleticism. He's better on the feet. He's not a guy that's gonna really be, you know, get submitted. I feel like, and Alan Patrick's his output's so low. So I love it. I love that price going down. I mean, I snatched the menace at $1.50, $1.45, even better. So I hate it because he's so untrustworthy, but you got to back him because he should win this fight and win it convincingly.
Got about 30 seconds to go. You got 3 ladies fights, 2 in the flyweight division, 1 in the strawweight. Which one sticks out to you the most?
I think Angela Hill is being severely disrespected in her fight against Johnny Rama. Yes, Verna's outstanding on the ground. Angela Hill does get taken to the ground, but she doesn't get submitted. She doesn't get submitted, and I think she's a better stand-up fighter. So Angela Hill, dogs are going to bark for Overkill for sure.
Hey, Overkill Hill, there is not a fight that she does not enjoy. Hey, Jordan, appreciate the time and the information. As always, my friend, again, check him out at the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Come on back. Kevin I always going to join the program next on First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you plenty of ways to bet on the UFC. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You're going to be able to bet on more ways than just the main event. DraftKings has great odds on fight lines, total rounds, and features for MMA events. Eligibility restrictions to apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Back here on First Strike, I am Dave Ross. A pleasure to have Kevin Ioli join the program for the very first time here on First Strike. Of course, does great work at Yahoo Sports. Follow him on Twitter as I do, at Kevin I. Kevin, welcome to the program, man. It's great to have you on. And obviously, we wanted to have you on for quite some time. When you look at the main event here in the light heavyweight division between Jan Błachowicz, the former champ, against Alexander Rakic, it is interesting because the experts that I've talked to all week long, they feel like Rakic should be the favorite, but it's been steamed up a little bit as the week has gone on, Kevin. -$1.90 now. When does it get to the point that you say maybe it's a little bit overvalued?
You know what? I like Błachowicz in the fight. I'm one of the difference feelers here, but I think, you know, Błachowicz has such a good overall game, and I think he has really something to fight for here. You know, he doesn't feel like he performed very well in his last fight when he lost the title to Glover Teixeira, but you could see what he's capable of doing against strikers when he fought Dominic Reyes, Israel Adesanya. Mm-hmm. You know, he performed at a really high level. And so I kind of like, you know, I mean, to me, it's a very close fight. You can make an argument for both guys. But I like the situation that Błachowicz is in here. And so I kind of like Błachowicz. So, you know, I wrote in my column the other day that I would take Błachowicz. And I think if I remember correctly, he was $1.65 at that point.
Right. It's been steamed up a little bit here. So you're getting even better money on Błachowicz here as the week has gone on. So, again, to your point here, Kevin, if you like the former champion in Błachowicz, maybe wait, because the money has been coming in on Rockets, maybe get an even better number before fight time tomorrow night. The over here right now at 3.5 rounds is -$1.40. The under 3.5 potential 5-round main event here is plus money at +110. The conventional wisdom seems to believe, Kevin, that this will be one of those fights that goes deep into the night. Is that with Błachowicz utilizing that wrestling that we saw him control Israel Adesanya in this division? Is that the pathway for Błachowicz to get the upset is to utilize that wrestling and take this fight deep into the night?
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, you're going to see him try to clinch a lot on the cage when they're in the stand-up. You know, I don't think that he wants to spend a lot of time in the center of the ring striking with Rakic. You know, Błachowicz has got a lot of power, and he can knock guys out, but his striking isn't his total game, right? So he's going to want to, you know, try to either get the fight to the ground and wrestle a little bit or be on and work the clinch on the cage. And so I think when you look at those kind of fights, I think you expect it to go longer. So yeah, I like this as a fight that would go a long way too. So, you know, 3.5 rounds, you know, they're making it a tough number right there. That's, you know, that's a tough spot, but I think this is probably one that's going to go the distance.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think conventional wisdom, if you believe Rakic is going to get the win, maybe at 39, Błachowicz starting to take some shots, maybe you can get him out of there earlier. But if you like Błachowicz like Kevin does here, then maybe the correlating play there would be the over as he tries to tire out Rakic on the ground like he did to Israel Adesanya not that long ago. In the co-main event here, we're staying right there in the light heavyweight division here with Ryan Spann against Ian Cutelaba. We know Cutelaba can be kind of crazy, unorthodox in there, likes to pressure. Sometimes Superman Spann doesn't always seem to like that. I don't know who would like to be pressured the way Cutelaba does. -225 on Cutelaba. Is that priced accordingly in your estimation, or maybe a little bit high for your blood?
You know, I think that's kind of what I expected to come in at. I can't play Kudalaba there because I think both guys are inconsistent. I think Kudalaba is maybe a little bit more consistent than Ryan Spann is, but I like this play as an under. I think if Ryan Spann has any chance to win, he's got to land something big, right? And I think that's what Kudalaba is always trying to do. So I like this to go, you know, inside the distance. That's the play, I think, on this fight that makes the most sense to me.
Yeah, and again, under 1.5 right now is priced accordingly, minus $1.45. I think most people like you, Kevin, believe that if Spann's going to pull the upset, it's got to come quicker, and you know Kutsalaba's going to be there right from the jump. Yeah, he has been a little bit more patient in his last fights, as Jordan Sherwood put out there, but, you know, it just feels like Kutsalaba is that constant pressure fighter in this light heavyweight division, so let's see if he can get it done earlier than later. In the bantamweights here, this is interesting to me, Kevin, because normally in these lighter weight classes, right, you see in a potential three-round fight, the totals normally you're going to get plus money if you think that this fight can get stopped earlier, but not in this one. The under here, 2.5 rounds, is minus 220. So people believe that Grant is going to make quick work of Luis Smolka. Do you see it the same way, or do you think that potentially Smolka, who likes to try to get those submissions, might be able to extend this fight a little bit longer than people think?
I just think they're different class of fighters right here. I think Davy Grant is a fighter on the ascent, and I think Lou Smolka is a fighter kind of, you know, every fight now he's trying to hang on to his job, right? He's out there. And so sometimes, you know, I do believe in that desperation mode, Dave, where you say, hey, a guy wants to hold on to his job. But I just think they're different class of fighters here, and Grant's got a lot of weapons. I think he's beaten some good people, too. So I kind of go along with the conventional wisdom on this one. You know, I think you'll see Grant win this fight, and I think you'll see him, you know, take Smolka out.
And again, if you want to shorten that price, you could do so by taking Davy Grant before you get to those the over round there of 2.5 rounds. Again, the over is plus $1.70. The under right now, surprising in this weight class, minus 220. But to Kevin's point there, that is the game plan for Grant, is to get this and make it a quick night. Caitlin Chookagian, she goes by Blonde Fighter. Some people call her Point Fighter here because she does win a lot of fights by decision here. And, you know, I hate to say that as a negative because all she does is win, Kevin. She's a $1.80 favorite to do it.
Yeah,
right? I know. It's like, man, now you got to do it with style points here against Amanda Ribas, somebody that could be very tough to look good against. But Ribas is going up in weight from 115 to 125. She's the big underdog at plus $1.55. Is this going to go according to script, which is Chookagian via decision?
Yeah, I like Chookagian in this fight. I mean, Ribas is ranked 9th at flyweight, and Chookagian is first. Ninth at strawweight. Chookagian is first at flyweight, and you know they're ranked where they are for a reason, right? I think Ribas is a fighter that has a lot of tools, and she looks to get you out of there, right? I mean, she's a black belt in judo, a black belt in jiu-jitsu. She loves to strike, so she's really an offensive fighter. Chookagian is more, you know, going to wrestle you and grind it out, and you know, against most of the opponents she's had, except for Valentina Shevchenko, who's on a different level than pretty much anybody. I think that's a good path for her, and I just think, you know, that Ribas hasn't shown at the level, you know, fighting the elite fighters at a higher weight class, that she can pull this off. So I think the safe play here is to go by Chookagian. Go with Chookagian, and I would say I like Chookagian by decision.
Talking with Kevin Ioli of Yahoo Sports. Again, follow him on Twitter as I do at Kevin I. You know, it is interesting. You got the lightweight division. It's absolutely loaded. Frank Camacho, Manuel Torres going to try to make their names in that division. Camacho, a small underdog here, plus $1.05. What do you make of what looks like a pretty even fight on paper?
I like Camacho in that fight, and I think that's going to be a fight that, you know, UFC oftentimes, you know, you look at boxing undercards and you go, and there's not a fight. On UFC, there's a lot of fight cards that they, you know, put on where there's a fight that's an early fight on the card. Win that one.
I think it should be a fun fight as well. Let's stay in the lightweight division here. For the former Black Zillion, Michael Johnson, still kicking here, minus $1.45 against Alan Patrick, plus $125. You know, it is hard to back a guy like Johnson who hasn't won a lot, but then you look at Alan Patrick and go, what am I getting here? Do you have to go with two older guys in this division, but one more of a name commodity versus the other?
Well, I to me, it's like you have one fighter that is explosive and one fighter who's not, you know, and you talked about Chookagian, you know, and how she fights. You know, Alan Patrick is kind of a conservative fighter. And, you know, Michael Johnson, I think when he loses fights, you know, he loses fights by making mistakes offensively. Hey, look, he's a guy that hurt Khabib, right? Mm-hmm. When they he fought. You know, he had a good go of it for a while against Justin Gaethje in Gaethje's debut. He had Gaethje hurt for a little bit. You know, so Michael Johnson will make, you know, unfathomable mistakes sometimes, and it costs him the fight. But I think you're talking when he does that, it's against way better competition than Alan Patrick, you know. And I think in this fight, you know, you're going to take the guy who I think is in better condition, who is far more explosive and can end fights, you know, in an instant. So Michael Johnson to me is the play.
Got about 45 seconds to go, Kevin. When you look at the rest of the fight card, you got Overkill Hill against Yonder Roba. You've got Viviane Araujo against Andrea Lee. Nick Maximoff, the Diaz brothers' disciples. Is there any other fight on this card that you really find some value in?
I like Angela Hill. You know, I mean, Angela Hill sticks around. She's $1.50, $1.60, depending on where you look. I like her. She's always in fights. You know, she's a smart fighter. Vanda Roba, I think, tends to make a lot of mistakes, as we saw in her fight with Eva. I like Angela Hill.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for joining the program here in First Strike. Do great work at Yahoo Sports. We appreciate the time.
Appreciate it, guys.
There he is, Kevin Ioli. Thanks to Jordan Sherwood, Lou Finicaro. Enjoy the fights, everybody. We'll see you next week right back here. First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.